Good day, my name is Tim. I want to start with some verses. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Ephesians 4:3 says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Part of Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. John 17:21, that they may all be one, just as you are one, you, Father, and I, Jesus speaking, as me and you are one, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So the whole point of these verses is, all of them, and there's themes throughout the Bible, and it's just picking verses, it's a theme. Jesus, God, he wants us to be one, just as they are one, just as the whole Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. He wants us to be one as the church. And so, but we're not, we're very divided. So some people say, the only way we can become one is the church is persecuted, it'll cleanse. And I'm not saying persecution wouldn't draw the church together, but I think there's another way of doing it. We can learn to reconcile. We can flourish if we learn to reconcile with each other. See, reconciliation is the gospel. Reconciliation is what God came to do when he sent Jesus to the earth to die for us and to rise and to live. And that after the third day, he came to reconcile us to God. And we need to reconcile to each other. So one side forgives, and the other side confesses. And one side just says what they believe. The other side says, all right, I love you. It's okay. Truth has a way of dividing us. It's like, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus is truth. And how do we get to know Jesus? Through the Bible. So if we start with those things, we can have unity. We can have unity. We can still have lots of room for lots of disagreements. So I think so. Personality also divides. I think personality divides even more than truth. And a lot of times it's like, I follow John, you follow Joe. No, we can all be followers of Christ and be united as one. It's possible. But I think one of the biggest things that prevents this is our church structure. And we can fix this. We can make it better. We can make the church structure, make it so it is inviting for people. It disciples people. People learn to love God more. And that we are one. And Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So, another thing about the church is, churches tend to just generally meet on one day a week, usually Saturday or Sunday, sometimes Saturday, depending on the church. But they tend to meet one day a week, maybe stick another, but if I want to go to church anytime, I can't. I'm just not able to. And one time, I worked and I had to work on Sundays, and I realized I'm never getting Sundays off. I can't go to church. I had to quit my job. I'm like, I really need to go to church. I need Jesus more than I need this job. But some people will never get to go to church because they can't go on Sundays or whatever day it is. So I think, why can't, like, I go to Walmart anytime. Why can't I go to church? A lot. And especially, the Bible directs us to meet together more as we see the date approaching. And I don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow or hundreds of years from now. But I know he's coming back. And I know his day is approaching. So we might as well meet together more frequently, at least be able to. I go to the gym. And one thing I really like about my gym is it's all over the U.S., Canada, and Europe. And all locations are open 24 hours a day, 365 days It's really convenient and I really like it. But church? No. I dream of a church located near multitude where people are. And that's available and convenient for people to go to. So we can do this. We can have a church that is more convenient. That preaches the studies of the Bible. So I would say an online church or house churches, those are good. Don't get me wrong. But I sometimes just want to go to a building where I know what to expect. Like I walk into McDonald's and know what to expect. I want to go to a church and just know kind of what to expect. I'll continue talking about the church, what it'll look like in a bit. But there's another problem in society that I'd also like to talk about for a second. Before the era of TV, I'm pretty sure people talked a lot more. For 4 months, I lived with people without a TV. And we talked a lot. We had really great conversations. It really made us close to each other. But after about 4 months, we bought a TV. And we chatted a lot less. Like, a lot less. And nowadays, things are a lot worse. Because it's not about TV. We all have our own TVs. We don't even watch the same thing. We don't even talk about it. We have all of our own devices. We all are in our own little groups. So, no. Like, we just, that's the way society is now. So, this whole place of conversation doesn't really exist. The whole place, I love the conversation. Being able to come home and just have a conversation. But we are usually just in our own little worlds. As a result of this, in my opinion, people have bad relationships. People become extremists. People feel isolated. And in extreme circumstances, I think it's a big reason for violence, drug use, porn, so many other bad things to society is that we just don't have the time to sit down and communicate with each other and have really quality relationships. So how is this related to like church unity? Well, see, the church is, there's a social structure in the church. Normally we go to church, we listen to a sermon, we sing some songs, talk to each other a little bit and go home. Well, that was really, really good before all this happened because we didn't sit down. It was a good place to sit down and listen to something about God. And then we can go home and talk about it. We talk about it on the table. We talk about it in the evening. We talk about it. You talk about it. And nowadays, we can hear a sermon. We can hear a tiny little thing. We can hear all these things, all these inputs. All of them just come towards us. We don't really talk about it. So we live in our little silos. And we develop our own opinion. And we don't really have the space to actually interact with each other and talk about it and reconcile our differences, which creates a lot of conflict. Another thing is like the space for generations, for people, for older people and younger people, a place just for them to meet and just talk and have this. We don't have that space. It doesn't exist. And so there's a big gap between the generations. Malachi talks about the fathers and the parents and just a real great future when there's great reconciliation and beauty and there's really great love between them. I wish I could quote the verse. I don't have it in my head. And I didn't write it. But there's a verse in Malachi that says that. It's something that Jesus wants, that God wants, that it's going to happen, that there's going to be peace between generations. And how do we do this when we don't really talk to each other generally that much? When Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he continues and says, the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. This, to me, is what the church is really called to do. How do we love God? We worship Him. We talk to Him. We talk to others about Him. How do we love our neighbors? Particularly our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray with them. We talk to them. We have relationships with them. We're sacrificed for each other. We love and serve our community and world together as the church. So, we can make things better. we can change the church structure and make things better. Because those sermons, they're not bad. But are they really required? Do we need to make our space more a space that people are welcome and people have healthy conversations? So we're led more by like facilitators who facilitate good, godly conversations about the Bible. And so we talk about issues and things. And we're a place for that. Because that's what our society needs. Not only does that need, if we want to disciple people, we need to have that. So let me just go into this a little bit more. I know people who pray for revival like all the time. Like they pray for, they just their prayer warriors, and they love the God. They love God so much. They pray for revival. But are we, as a church, are we ready for it? Are we really, really ready for revival? I'm not sure we're really fit for it yet. We're not quite ready, but we can. We can be ready. We can be ready, and we can get revival. Briefly, let me share a way I think this can be done. Picture walking into a building. So think of it like a greeter or a check-in. The most important room is the prayer room, where there's like different rooms in this building, like different rooms. Just like a church I'm like describing. You go in, you check in, like any time of day. When it's open. We're open a lot more than it is now. Maybe even 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it's open. And one of the most important rooms in there is a prayer room, where there's prayers and worship. And people hear from God, and people talk to God. And God is honored and glorified because He deserves our honor, He deserves our praise, and He deserves our everything. And He really loves that from us. So just one room that's really, it may be the most popular room, maybe not, but it's a room that's dedicated to coming before God and praying to Him and worshiping Him. Think of another room, like a coffee shop, a place to meet. I'm one of like smoothies and sandwiches. I'm not really into coffee, but I know coffee shops are more cooler, I guess. So a place that you just go and chat, and it's open, and you have coupons for the coffee shop, and you can give them to your friends, and they can come in and just use it. Maybe they don't want to go to the prayer room, but they want some coffee, or they want a smoothie. They can just come in and do it. Or they can chat. I mean, right now there's really great overpriced places that you really just go to, not for the food, because the food's okay, but you really just go to hang out and talk to people. And we want to be a space for that. Another space should be for parents to let their kids go and enjoy, so they don't have to worry about them, especially like young moms with kids like eight and below. Like they're full of energy and they need a place to play. And I know when I worked at a gym, the kid zone, there was a kid zone there, and the parents loved it. They go to bring their kids for 2 hours and just relax and just exercise and work out. This is like a spiritual workout. Now, this is not a child care facility, so I like the 2 hour max idea is a good idea. But we do want a space for the kids to go, the kids to be loved, and the kids to even grow closer to God. But another space, I would think it's probably the most popular one. I'd call it the family room. Gym would be like the workout room, like a spiritual workout, though. This space, there's a number of times a day people come, and they're facilitated in discussions about the Bible. They have like small gospel community groups. And it's not a sermon. You come to read the Bible, observe it, to ask questions, to talk about it, to hear people's opinions, and to share it with a bigger group, and just sometimes just with a smaller group. You can have tables, like 6 to 8 people around each table, and like have 10 tables, and have one spokesperson come up and be the spokesperson for that table and saying the cool things that they were said about the particular passages that was studied. There's really great ways to do this, and it can really be awesome. And then at the end, you could have times of prayer. Maybe you could have the first time that when you're studying the Bible, you have that change week to week or month, whatever. You just change that whenever, however frequently you meet. But then your groups that you pray together, you keep those the same, so you can have consistent prayer partners and accountability partners. It's just awesome the way the church can run. it can be so much more effective. We can change the social structure of the church and make it allow to make disciples, that we can be united, that we can allow for diverse opinions, because and that we can, there's also matters of power structure. We've had a lot of failings since as a greater church and power and how we function as power. And that's a whole bigger discussion that I'm not going to get into right now on the politics of church. But we can make it better. The whole idea of like democratic republic, yeah, there were a lot of Jesus, a lot of Christians created those, and we don't really have that stuff in our churches these days. And we can do it. We can have a better political structure in the churches. There's a lot more than what I've said. There's a lot more I want to say, but I really want to have a discussion. And personally, I'm 42 now. I haven't had a lot of these discussions with people who want to listen or talk or listen. I want to listen to. Like, there's people. I want to have these discussions. I want to see this happen. I want to see a reality of the church being beautiful. My name is Tim Terry. Tim@yahoo.com. TIMITT@yahoo.com or Tim@outlook.com. Those are my emails. Feel free to send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. This domain, prayerhouse.org, I bought it like 10 years ago. Dreaming, stuff like this. It's gotten deeper. I've thought about it a lot. Nothing's really happened. But I still have faith. I say politics and religion like 20 years ago when I find myself doing odd jobs and scraping by. But I think God wants more of me. More of me. And he says, and I tell him, here I am, send me, like Isaiah. So that's why I made it. And contact me. Have some discussions. Let's fix the church. Make it beautiful. Make it welcoming. Make it lovely. Make it missional. And let it shine for Jesus. Thanks for listening.